This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. It's March, so Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this year. There's just nothing like betting in March. Breakdowns of every region and every game. From conference tournaments to the Final Horn, we'll have the picks and the plays on every single game. Cinderella spotlights, upset alerts, and some of that value for the last team standing. It's tourney time, so hunker down and bet the board with us. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you're Xavier and you were pissed off that he left the first time, what on earth did you think was going to happen if he had success the second time? I mean, some of this is on you, dude. You hired him back. What do you think? He's going to just stay there forever now?
Like Riley, right? Riley left, came back, and left again.
But he's not Sean Miller.
It's like going back to a cheating ex, right? Like, oh, they'll be different this time.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I think the idea is that Miller went to a big-time program in Arizona, got shamed, right? Kind of run out of town there. And that maybe just there was some gratitude that they gave him, like, the shot again, coming home, redemption. And that maybe that would lead to some loyalty. You saw, like, the... Like, your husband left you for the hot stripper and then realized the hot stripper was a mess. And then you're like, no, he's grown up and matured. He still likes hot strippers.
Yeah, exactly. And why you thought any different, you're the fool.
You know, what else were you going to go get?
Well, that's a fair point. I mean, whoever they bring in, if they have success from at Xavier, is probably going to leave.
Exactly.
But that's the whole thing. It's like... So, but you're mad. Yeah. Like, would you be mad if they brought in Ben McCullen or whatever the guy's name is from Drake?
Yeah.
If they had him and he left to go to Iowa after doing what he did at Drake and at Xavier,
sure.
Are they mad at him? No, they're not, because it was only the first time.
Sure.
Shockingly, the same thing's going to happen with Sean. I mean, I don't know. Look, I'm reading from this article. It says social media has been ablaze with reactions, with some fans jokingly dubbing it, if you can't beat him, hire him. Because, of course, they lost to Texas in the play-in. Others have expressed frustration, accusing Miller of prioritizing personal ambition over program stability.
Oh,
good grief.
For heaven's sakes. Where have you been? Living under a rock? By the way, after he gets fired by Texas in 4 years for getting bounced in the first round, Xavier will welcome him back a third time, because who else are they going to go
get? And here's another one. Yeah, exactly. Many fans and analysts have pointed out that Miller had signed a contract extension with Xavier just 2 years ago, raising questions about his loyalty to the program. Oh, my God.
There is no loyalty.
Are these people living under a rock?
I know.
Good grief.
What loyalty? No one, and I mean no one, has loyalty to a program, except like Tom Izzo. Like, he's been at Michigan State forever. He's not going anywhere, like Coach K. But in this modern brand of coaching, and by the way, you can have loyalty to Duke and Michigan State. No one has loyalty to Xavier. It doesn't happen.
Yeah, so shove it, Musketeers.
And be happy, dude. That guy took you in his 5 years at Xavier. They went to the tournament 4 out of 5. He went to the round of 64. Dude, he got better every year. He went to the round of 64, round of 32, Sweet 16, and Elite 8. In 4 years, he went to, you know, about as high as you're going to get.
You're so right, though. If he flames out of Texas, hire him again.
Exactly. He'll be back.
Probably will come back.
What else are you going to do if you're Xavier?
So he was there 1, 2, 3. Yeah, you're saying the first 5 years.
Yeah, the first 5 years.
The second 3 years have not been that great.
No.
27, 10, 16, and 18, and 22, and 12.
Yeah. And that's the other one. If you're Sean Miller, you're like, dude, I'm not that hot right now. So Texas wants to come calling with that big bag of cash. Let's go.
Ducks lost. I don't know if you saw that.
They're a big. Hey, for one glorious half.
They always do that. They always come out of the gate firing.
Oregon does one of two things. Either they get up by a bunch and then blow the lead, or they go down by 17 and then come back. It's one of the two.
So it was 19-4
Yeah.
In favor of the Ducks. Yeah. And it was like, oh, baby. Ooh. And that's when you live bet Arizona.
Yeah. Well, it also, you know, it's hard to win games when you shoot like 50, was it 53% from the free throw line?
Yeah, I think they were 8 of, was it?
It's low.
What was it?
It was low 50s. I know
they missed
that.
10.
Yeah. It's not good.
I think they were 16 of 26. Yeah, I think that sounds right.
So when you play a close game and you get nicked by just a few.
Yeah.
You know,
that
then,
hurts.
And then you go back and, what was the Bill Shonley? You gotta make your free throws.
Well, there's nothing more maddening than missing free throws in a close game.
And
I mean, it's just
a ton.
They missed a ton. And, you know, look, here's the other thing about that game.
Yeah, 12 of 22 officially.
Oh, 12. That's what it was. 12 of 22.
50, a robust 54%. Also, too, you shot like 30-something percent from the three-point line, too. So when you can't shoot the three ball and you can't make free throws and your offense kind of struggles in general and you got Bamba taking some – for some reason, he's got the ball in his hands with a chance to tie the game. I'm not really certain what happened there. That was out of a timeout. Did they draw that up, or did he just go rogue and be like, it's my time to shine?
They talked about that on there, and I think they thought they didn't think that maybe he would take that shot.
Huh?
But, you know, this is the hard part of coaching college kids. Like, Bamba had a nice game.
Yeah.
And
you just think that either
he's
ends
like,
up
in, I see a shot and I'm going to take it.
It wasn't a, I mean, did
it
he
wasn't
see a
terrible shot.
He just kind of put his head down and was like, I'm going this way.
It wasn't terrible. What do you want? Another Jackson Shellstad 3-pointer?
No, I want my man Nate Biddle. He was throwing, throwing the wild hooker out there, man. Yeah,
that's fair. I will say, though, they got good.
And Arizona center was fouled out.
They got good Jackson. Why can't I say his name?
No. You can.
I'm
going
to try again.
Was Jared Goff on their team?
I'm going to try again. Here we go. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
They got good Jackson Shellstad and still lost.
Yes.
Because you don't always get good Jackson Shellstad.
It's also why
he was pretty good.
Which I don't understand. Biddle and Shellstad were having really good games. They've been your two best players all year. I don't understand in the big moment coming out of the timeout, especially with a backup in the middle for Arizona, and you only needed two. I don't get why the ball didn't go into one of those two sets of hands. But, you know, Arizona should have sealed that game away multiple times. When Caleb Love came down on that break, when he had the steal, it was a 1-on-3, and then he alley-ooped it to two guys, and neither one of them could hit it. And then Oregon came down and hit a three. You were like, oh my God, Arizona is about to S the bed. And then Oregon was like, no, we don't want this.
I Arizona is an interesting team. We'll talk more about them tomorrow. Caleb Love's pretty damn good.
Yeah.
But boy, if there is a coach you don't trust in college basketball, I give you Tommy Lloyd.
Yes. That game, they had that. All you had to do was just, and then for some reason on that play, like the announcers were acting like somehow it was Caleb Love's fault. On that alley-oop, dude, either one of you just grab the ball and dunk it. I think that would have put him up seven or eight.
They had too many guys at the rim.
Yes. There was too many free Arizona Wildcats. And then they gave up a three at the other end. It was shocking how poor Arizona played down the stretch. And then Oregon was like, but we can play poor too. Watch this. We'll turn it over.
I can get trapped in the corner too.
Absolutely. I mean, they were lucky. The full court pass, the one that Caleb Love intercepted, the Oregon guy basically just grabbed his hand and it should have been a foul.
Yeah.
I mean, neither side wanted to win that. And eventually Arizona did. So it just, that was not a pretty performance, but the one that's going to haunt Oregon is you're up 19-4 or whatever. You just shoot your season average of free throws or don't make dumb turnovers at the end and you win that game. They are going to be kicking themselves when they watch that film.
Yeah, but if you look around the tournament, can you think of a team that closed the door really well? Like
that was in a close game.
I think Michigan, you know, I got to give Michigan credit. I thought A&M would beat them.
Mm-hmm.
And A&M had them down by 10.
Yeah.
And I tell you what, dude, Michigan freaking stomped them down the stretch and put an exclamation on that game. That was a pretty good finish by Michigan.
I'm trying to think. Well, some of the games weren't.
Florida, like, I mean, Florida just pulled it out. Yeah. Like, they had a gutsy, dude, they got tested.
Because they were up 10 with a few minutes left, and UConn came roaring back, and I was like, oh my God, Florida's going to gack it. Like, Duke wasn't tested, Bama wasn't tested, Michigan State wasn't tested, Kentucky wasn't. Some of them just
who did Auburn play?
Bludgeon people. Auburn came back and looked good. Auburn had Creighton, and they struggled early, but once they put their foot on the gas in the second half, that wasn't really close. Houston couldn't close out Gonzaga.
No.
Houston
tried
to give it away, and Gonzaga was right there.
I have a hot take.
What do you got?
Do you want a hot tournament take?
Let's go.
Houston is going to make the Final Four,
mm-hmm.
and the toughest game and the toughest team that they will have played to get to the Final Four will be Gonzaga.
I don't think that's a super hot take.
Oh, it's not super hot.
I don't think so. Gonzaga was criminally underrated.
They played a lot better than I thought.
Yes,
they were pretty good.
Yes. By the way, BYU had Wisconsin all game, and BYU tried to gack it away.
They didn't close.
I mean,
either. They did, but they didn't do it very well.
No, they turned the end of that game. Wisconsin had a chance to win that game with a three.
You know who's a closer? Michigan State.
Yeah.
They closed out their game. Now, they were only playing New Mexico.
Yep.
But they were in a dogfight. They closed that thing out.
Mm-hmm.
Maryland got lucky to win their game.
With the weird nine-step.
Alabama closed. Alabama finished the deal on St. Mary's.
Yeah, that wasn't really. I mean, they just were up 10, and they never really were tested.
I'm trying to think of who else is out there. Arkansas. Dude, Arkansas. Freaking St. John's. Come on, man. It's a nice win.
Well, and a lot of people thought that was like the metrics that said St. John's didn't have the makings of a team of that seeding. And hey, supposedly I think Arkansas's like second leading scorer may come back. He's been injured. I guess he may be back in this round. So yeah, keep an eye on Arkansas all of a sudden.
All right, well.
And then of course the team that just
sorry, Ducks.
Is just steamrolling people. And I think they're 9.5 point favorites over Arizona. But dude, Duke is really good.
Yeah.
And they are just annihilating people.
Now that's a hot take, Jace.
Yes.
Duke is really good.
Well, we got good matchups here. We got, Duke, Arizona, BYU, Bama could be kind of interesting. I'll give you that. Ole Miss, Michigan State. Like you said, it hasn't been a great tournament, but going forward, there should be some really good games.
Tell you what, if Auburn, Florida, Duke, and Houston play in the Final Four,
mm-hmm.
we're going to freaking love it.
Yeah.
That is going to be so good. If all the one seeds make it,
yeah, which never happens, but maybe this is.
I'm trying to think of a two seed that if they got in there, we would think the same.
Michigan State would be it. No one's gonna balk at Michigan State.
Tennessee, maybe.
Yeah.
St. John's is out. Who's the other two?
Tennessee is there. Who's the other two? Purdue still in. Maryland, Florida. Who's the other two? I'm scrolling here. Alabama.
Yeah. I guess if they got in, that would it would still be.
And something
but
tells
then
me,
you wouldn't have Duke.
Well, and something tells me this is usually
we need Duke.
The rubber meets the road when BYU plays a team like Alabama. But
well, again, spreads. You know, we said this about Gonzaga-Houston.
5.5, 6, I
and
think.
And the spread was only 5.
Yeah.
I pointed that out. I'm like, hey, man, you know, the odds makers don't think. So same with BYU-Alabama. It's only 4 or 5 points, this point spread. So the odds makers don't think Bama's that much better than them.
No. What's weird is
my Cougs.
Kentucky, Tennessee. We got 3-2 there. If Kentucky makes it through,
they've already played twice. Kentucky won both.
So,
and never, ever, ever trust Rick Barnes.
So I think if Kentucky makes it through, even though they're the three, obviously that's another blue blood making
Still,
through.
I'm telling you, we want to root for Florida, Auburn, Duke, and Houston. That will be an epic.
Yes,
or at least should be an epic Final Four. Those are. By far the 4 best teams.
I would agree.
By far. All right. Sore loser Dan Hurley edition. Next. I got a kick out of it. Well, you know, Del Orso, he's the kid. He's from Australia.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're watching Oregon, Arizona, he has kind of an afro, but not really because he's white.
Yeah. It's like shaved on the sides.
And it's shaved on the sides.
Yeah.
Completely.
It's an interesting look.
Very interesting look. Well, they pan up to the stands and they show his mom. She has the exact same hair. Oh, and looks just, I mean, it is like spitting image.
Huh.
Only her her sides are grown out, and they're a different color than the top.
Well, now I kind of need to see this.
I've been looking for the photo. I can't. Somebody screen grabbed it. I can't find it.
Did you also happen to see the little dude that Duke brought in to close out the game?
It was pretty amazing. No, I didn't. I watched none of Duke Baylor.
Duke
needs to get in a close game before I watch them.
Yeah, I don't know why. It happened to be on the TV, and you know, sometimes, like, who is it? Izzo's kid would come in, right, when they would.
Bill Self's kid was at KU.
Right, they do that, like, when you're blowing someone out and you put in like, the team manager. Duke has a kid that I believe is Schultz's size with a white kid, Jufro, and it's amazing. Like, they brought him in, and that dude, like, they were up, like, 30 or whatever. My man is playing defense. Like, there's, like, a minute and a half left, and he was getting his money's worth.
Well, that's his Super Bowl.
Boy, and his shorts, like, he was in the N1 mixtape. I don't think he meant to. I just don't think that they had shorts that fit him. They, like, went down to his calves. It was amazing. It was like a make-a-wish sort of situation there. I'm fascinated at the end of benches. You know, that is the highlight of that kid's life right there. It's like the Matt Ishbia was that guy.
Did you? I didn't see the end of the game, but Oregon Liberty. Did you see the ref? What he did to help the kid?
Yeah, he faked that he had to clean the floor.
So there was a kid for Liberty. It was about 45 seconds left in the Oregon game, and of course, Oregon was up by a billion. And this kid was getting ready to check in. He was sitting at the scorer's table, and the referee saw it and stopped the game and pretended to wipe something off the floor. Well, there was nothing on the floor.
No.
He did that so he could allow the kid to get in the game and play his 45 seconds.
Yes.
And I thought that was, and he helped him up off the ground and, you know, gave him a little butt tap.
Yeah.
I thought that was great.
That was cool. And by the way, it was the most pathetic attempt to clean the floor. He just took a shoe, made one swipe, and was like, get in here, kid.
But what great awareness to see that and go, you know what I'm going to do? I'll let you in the game,
We're getting you in.
Tussle his little hair.
Yeah. The kid I'm talking about for Duke, his name was Spencer Hubbard. And boy, he could not have looked more out of place in that basketball game. But it's, you know, it's cute. It's cute. He got to have a highlight in there.
Was it worse than the Colorado State kid, the little white kid for Colorado State?
It's about the same.
That came off the bench, and he was getting real minutes.
But he was getting real minutes.
And he was making plays, and the rest of his teammates were, like, laughing. They were like, what is this? And he was out there balling out.
It's like that, but there's no way that this Hubbard kid is getting in the game for Duke when it matters.
All right.
I'm looking at his career. I looked up his bio, and his career highlight from the 24-25 season is he drilled a three-pointer in Duke's win over Army.
Nice.
That was his big. He also scored 5 points, a new career high, against Florida State, making a fast break layup, followed by a three-pointer. So, it's obscene.
It's obscene.
It is obscene.
All right, Dan Hurley and Rick Pitino wrap up the hour. I just can't be convinced somebody wants to act like that.
Yeah, it's just...
You know, he can't help it.
Yeah.
He's a maniac. He's got a screw loose, and he is probably... And I'm guessing that is really hard to live with.
Yeah.
If I'm his wife.
Well, it's the Jim Harbaugh thing. Even Jim Harbaugh's, like, wife says that he's hard to be around, but, you know.
Yeah, but he doesn't... I think that the difference with Hurley is he seems to get uncontrollably angry, and it's an impulse. Like, he cannot control it.
No.
Whereas I think Harbaugh is smart enough to, like, he's just a jerk, but... Yeah, I mean, he doesn't get... There's something different about Dan Hurley's craziness as opposed to other a-hole coaches. I don't know if you think that, but I do. Seeing his behavior... Like, dude, he is a grade A... You know what?
It certainly seems that there is a trend here because his brother, who's not as successful, but his brother Bobby is like that at Arizona State, and their dad is a legendary... New York basketball coach, and I guess he's the Bob Knight of high school basketball. So I think it runs in the family. I think that is probably what he grew up with. I think that is what was expected of him. But you are right. I do not believe that Dan Hurley wants to act that way. I do not believe Bob Knight was this way. I do not believe it is in their control.
They can't control.
They are just unhinged. And the ends justify the means. And so to them, as long as you're winning, what does it matter what my behavior is? And I think that is the Hurley mantra.
So he said, you know, he got caught on video coming off the court against Florida. They just lost a close game. And he said, I hope they don't F you like they F'd us. And he was looking at the Baylor players because they were getting ready to go on the court next.
Yeah.
Did you see? So I, again, whatever. Dan Hurley's an ass. Did you see the sports information director at UConn and what he did?
No.
So that video, whoever took that video, the SID at UConn threatened to ruin their life. He sent them a note and said, this better not get out or I will ruin your life.
How is an SID director going to ruin your life?
That's a good question. But that's what he said to him.
Okay. So
worse than Dan Hurley.
So the SID director at UConn taking a page out of Dan Hurley's book.
Well, yeah.
Well, again, can you become the most unlikable team in college basketball in 3 short years? The answer to that question is yes.
Anybody remember when he was talking to the Lakers? How would that have gone?
I wanted more than to see that because I want to see him run that crap with the NBA players. Go yell at LeBron that way and see how that goes. I really want to see him yell at LeBron James in practice, please.
So they said that it was Charlotte Sports Live reported that Ellis, who is the reporter who took the video, let's see if I can find the name. Bloop, bloop. Charlotte Sports Live's Joey Ellis posted a video of Hurley's outburst on X, and it quickly went viral. On Monday, Ellis was confronted after the game by UConn men's basketball director of communications Bobby Mullen, who allegedly threatened to ruin Ellis's life if he didn't take the video down. Ellis didn't comply, and as of this report, the video has over 1.5 million views on X alone.
Again, I'm still trying to figure out how an SI director is going to ruin your life because you didn't take one down. I mean,
on Monday, Mullen responded to Charlotte Sports Live's report by quote tweeting the outlet's post. However, Mullen quickly deleted his post after it went live. Mullen wrote in the since deleted post, PR man yells at reporter, news at 11. I have a journalism degree and I know the difference between reporting and seeking out gotcha moments. My temper flared a bit in a moment of weakness after a loss, but I think the journalists I work with regularly would vouch for me. That's what the SID said.
I do so love when, whether it's athletes or reporters or, you know, when they do the, it's the Kendrick Perkins. You better not see me in the hallway and say that. What are you going to do? When's the last time besides Jim Everett that someone actually threw down in one of these instances? God, grow up, tough guys. It's just,
he said,
I'm
also
going to ruin your life.
The lasting image of Coach Hurley leaving the court should have been his talking off the court arm in arm with his seniors, overwhelmed emotion. Instead, a reporter was in the area he should not have been, recorded on his cell phone a private comment made to members of another coaching staff.
Ah, I see. So
you're blaming the guy that took the video.
You're blaming the guy because of what. So you did something, and now you're upset because what you did has become public, even though you did it in a public space. Oh, no. This is. He is the most unlikable figure in sports right now. Hands down, period, end of story.
And can I add, like, walking out of the tunnel or out of the stadium into a tunnel or the arena into a tunnel, there's usually media members there, whether it's the NBA, college, whether it's football or basketball. Like, that's not really a place where you expect privacy.
No.
And most often there's new, you know, journalists now with just their phones, even taping stuff for TikTok.
I hate to tell you this, but even in locker rooms, there's usually reporters.
Yep.
Welcome to the, you are getting paid millions of dollars to coach. There are going to be people that are going to film you. Hey, and sometimes being filmed is really good. Did you see the Rick Pitino gal is getting like $500,000 offers from porn sites?
No.
You haven't seen, have you seen the Pitino girl?
No. So, is this the Italian restaurant?
No. Pitino went and saw, because his kid coaches New Mexico, right?
Yeah.
So Rick went to the New Mexico game after getting bounced. And there was a gal that was sitting right behind Rick Pitino. And I find it interesting that Rick Pitino happened to be sitting right in front of the largest breasted woman. You just got to look up. I don't know, like, it's all over the place. But I guess she's standing right behind Rick Pitino wearing a very low-cut New Mexico sweater. And so every time they showed Rick Pitino, like, they are framed every time they showed him, those were sitting behind him. And you couldn't see her head in the shot. Like, the CBS camera guy, just, he framed it. Like, I mean, it was his masterpiece. So I guess a bunch of, like, porno sites are saying, anyone know who this is? We've got an offer. They're offering her, like, $500,000 to film a basketball scene. So sometimes being filmed can lead to very good things. I don't know if she's interested, but I would also love to know how many times Rick Pitino did a peek over the shoulder, because he was well aware of what was sitting behind him. I mean, it's Rick Pitino, for God's sakes.
Oh, when he's walking back to the huddle, I'm sure he's doing the side eye. Absolutely.
Oh, no. This is him at the New Mexico game.
He was at the New Mexico. He was in the stands watching his kid. So he was sitting right behind the New Mexico bench watching
his
son.
With a scarf on.
With a scarf on. And then right over his shoulder are just, dude, they're fantastic. And I just love that anytime the camera showed Pitino, they framed it perfectly. So that you know, the camera guy was like, dude, seriously, check this out. We're going back to Pitino.
Did you see him bench his best player?
Yeah.
For the final 5 minutes?
Sat him down.
Of their game?
And then the player was on board with it. The player after the game.
I didn't see that.
Yeah, the player after the game basically said, I was horse crap. And
well, he was 3 of 17.
Yeah.
But he's the best player on the team.
Yep.
And he sat him down for the last 5 minutes, and they got outscored 11-4 and lost.
Someone asked Rick Pitino why, and he goes, he was 3 of 17.
Well, Ricky got a little uppity about it.
Yeah.
In classic bully coach fashion. Mm-hmm. He was like, you know why.
You know why.
No,
he's their best
actually,
player.
Everybody's asking why.
Normally the best player, even having a bad game,
you know why.
You keep running him out there.
That's a clown question, bro.
But after the game, I forget what that kid's name is, but the kid seemed to kind of...
Ruiz, something like that.
Yeah, I'll try to pull up the quotes, but the kid seemed to kind of defend Rick Pitino and said that he let everybody down and, you know, he was kind of devastated, but he wasn't throwing Ricky under the bus. Yeah. And that's usually... That's not a thing. Normally, if you sit down your best player, that kid's going on and ripping some people.
All right. That's it
for sports.
We're done with sports. Forever. It's over.
Well, what about this?
No more sports ever.
What about this Portland Pilots baseball game?
We don't have TGL tonight. You were wrong about that, too.
Schulte, did you get ball sacked, too?
What is the matter with you?
Apparently I did. Let me go read. Is today the 24th? Yes. I'm confused.
Maybe it's on later.
Literally read. Yeah, 10 hours ago, 2025 TGL coverage. And it said 9 p.m. Eastern on ESPN 2. Oh. So
it just started.
Yeah, like right now.
I retract my statement.
It's like, what did I do?
My bad.
It's all good.
It's on me.
I screw up every day.
Being a man of increase?
I was trying to be a man of increase.
Yeah. Well, you admitted when you were wrong, which indeed makes you...
Yeah, I was wrong.
A man of increase.
I thought TGL started at 4. It doesn't. They're going prime time.
What does Michael Scott say? It takes a big man to admit his mistake, and you are that big man. Congrats.
Very big. Like, really big.
Makes me uncomfortable.
Like... I mean, you don't even want to know. You know what I'm saying?
No, not really.
All right, should we break, Schulte?
Yeah, why not?
We could, yeah. Let's do it.
All right, coming up in the club, DoorDash loans.
The downfall of society.
And I have another yikes. From an airport with an airliner.
Oh.
A jetliner. So that's next on The Fan.